This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we look at some key issues that affect UK students, the UK campus, and the Lexington community. Campus Voices is created by Journalism 304 students with the help of the journalism faculty. Please send any questions to news@wrfl.fm.
Welcome to this week's installment of Campus Voices. Kentuckians will have to wait a little longer for medical marijuana to be legal in the state. House Bill 166, a bill centered around making medical marijuana legal in Kentucky, was shelved during this year's legislative session. We'll look at what went wrong with the bill, what helped it gain support, and what needs to change for the bill to be passed during the next legislative session. Reporter Curtis Franklin has more on what happened to House Bill 166 during the 2018 legislative session and what it would have meant for Kentuckians to have it passed.
Kentucky's hopes for a medical marijuana program in the state have been put on hold. The 2018 state legislative session ended earlier this month without House Bill 166 being passed. House Bill 166 was centered around making medical marijuana available to people with qualifying conditions. The House Judiciary Committee passed over the bill in early March. A discharge petition was then filed later that month, meaning the bill was no longer in consideration by the committee. House Bill 166 received support from both Democrats and Republicans, but it wasn't enough to get it passed. The bill would have made medical marijuana available to people with conditions like cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and PTSD. Kentucky would have become the 29th state with a medical marijuana program. It will now need to wait until next year's legislative session at the earliest for another chance at passing.
Before we begin, we'd like to welcome our guests to the show. Our first guest is Representative Jason Nemus. Representative Nemus represents House District 33 for parts of Jefferson and Oldham counties. He co-sponsored House Bill 166, but also made the motion to pass over the bill in March. Our next guest is Matt Daly. Mr. Daly is a member of Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes' staff. He serves as state director for the Office of the Secretary of State. He worked closely with Secretary Grimes on the movement for medical marijuana in Kentucky. Our last guest is Dr. Stephen Voss. Dr. Voss is an associate professor in political science and the director of undergraduate studies for the Department of Political Science at UK. He specializes in Kentucky politics, voting behavior, political methodology, and racial and ethnic politics. Thank you guys for joining us. How are you?
Thank you.
Mr. Daly, we're going to start with you. You helped lead the charge with the Secretary of State to create a bill for medical marijuana. Why did you feel like it was so important to get a piece of legislation like this created?
Well, again, thanks for having us. And, this started for us about 7 years ago. We, then Allison, before Secretary of State, we were on a campaign together. And ever since then, we have traveled all 120 counties every single year that we've been in office. We're constantly in and out of people's communities. And this issue just kept popping up. So, you know, every time we would go somewhere, you can't name a county where I couldn't tell you where a veteran or a family of a veteran would bring this issue to Secretary Grimes and say, please, can you help? And so in the beginning for us, you know, we did it the way that we only knew how, is say, hey, you need to contact your state rep, you need to contact your state senator. And of course, we would follow up and, you know, sure, they never got a phone call back. And so through that process, we got to know this community of veterans, folks who are sick and dying, who needed this medicine. They were quite aware that in states that really the only thing that separated them from being healthy was a zip code. Depending on where they were actually able to get that access. And so Secretary Grimes took it upon herself to put her name, her credibility out there. She created a task force that was comprised. It was a good composite of experts. It had doctors, nurses, law enforcement, regulatory agencies, just a whole host of folks who had some invested interest in the issue. And we used that as a clearinghouse in which to revise and to update that bill, which was John Sims, Representative Sims' bill, House Bill 166. And with that, we came up with what we call the gold standard for the nation. House Bill 166, we believe, is the best medical marijuana bill in the nation. And so we were very excited. There was a lot of good things that happened this year. Obviously, the Republican-controlled legislature, you know, dodged on this issue. They punted and they lodged it to where it, you know, it right now it it's dormant. But you know, you mentioned also that you know we'll have to wait to next year. Well, in theory, Governor Bevin right now could call a special session. Mm-hmm. We always hear about the flirting of special session. He, in fact, could call House Bill 166 up to be discussed and go through the regular process, and it could actually pass if, in fact, that was to happen.
Obviously, the bill didn't pass, but it did receive support from both sides of the aisle before it was shelved. So what do you think the supporters of the bill can gain from this round of legislation?
Well, they know that next year is going to be the year. There's nothing that is going to stop. And I'll tell you right now on this on the air that House Bill 166 will be filed as it is. Every letter of it will be the same bill. And what I can tell you that was positive that came out of this experience is a lot of people found their voice. There was a lot of people who were sick, who were trudging wheelchairs through snow this session, trying to get into committee hearings to hope and pray that this bill would get called up. Well, those people are going to be doing some political action this year. This summer, going into the fall, there's going to be some folks who are going to lose their House races and Senate races based on this issue, and it's going to be because of groups like 22 Strong and Kentuckians for Medical Marijuana, led by Jaime Montalvo. These folks are really excited about getting more involved, and so once we see what happens come November, I think the makeup of Frankfort is going to look a lot different come this November.
Representative Nemes, you made the motion to pass over the bill, but you've said before that you think medical marijuana can help people. So what was it about this particular bill that you didn't necessarily like?
We didn't have the votes in the committee to get it out at the time that it was called. We needed 11 votes, and we didn't have those. And so what I did was, rather than have a motion to or have a vote on the bill, which would have been defeated, I met with the sponsor of the bill, Representative John Sims, and some supporters that morning, and we devised a plan to make a motion to pass over so we could keep it alive and go to work. And then I immediately went to work. We picked up a number of votes. I think it would have passed if it would have been called, at least in the House of Representatives. And so we've made some changes to the bill. I think we now have a majority in the House of Representatives, certainly in the Judiciary Committee. And so I'm looking forward to it passing next year. One of the major changes was we want to make sure that we hold the line between medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. And there were a couple provisions of the bill which were problematic for a number of us. And that was that there was a provision that says you can grow 24 plants, 12 adult and 12 seedlings. And there was a provision that said that law enforcement couldn't cooperate. And so those are the kinds of things that we needed to tweak a little bit. And I have tweaked those and picked up not only a number of supporters, but actual co-sponsors that got on board. So, you know, Secretary Grimes has led the way, as Matt has said, and John Sims as well. He's the representative in Fleming County, and now it's time to get it done. I think it will be done. It's time for Kentucky to pass medical marijuana. You know, I wasn't an initial supporter, but studied it and met with a lot of constituents, and now I'm gung-ho in support of medical marijuana.
Obviously, you said that you're willing to work on it. So what is it about this bill that makes you feel like it is worth working on?
Well, you know, as I said, I've never done marijuana in my life. Mm-hmm. I've never been around it much. And so when I ran, it wasn't something I was supported. It wasn't something I really thought much about either. It wasn't an issue important to me. And then I met with a number of constituents, and frankly, my mind wasn't all that open. I met with them out of respect. And then when I talked to those constituents and a number of others, I thought to myself, you know, these stories are real. This really helps people. And so then I started diving into the literature. I started talking to a lot of doctors. I talked with Secretary Grimes and a number of other folks, and I decided, you know, it's time for Kentucky. So long as we can hold the line between medical and recreational, it needs to be done. And I think we can do that. And House Bill 166 is a very good bill with some minor tweaks to it, two I just outlined. We're going to get this done next year.
Mr. Daly, you've heard sort of how his opinion changed a little bit. Do you have any response to that, sort of how maybe others could have that same kind of change?
Well, what Representative Nemes just said is he did the research, but sadly we have a lot in a Republican-controlled majority that do not want to do the research. Mm-hmm. They have made it up their mind that it doesn't matter how sick you are, you know, what your veteran status is, we're not changing their mind. So what we have to do is change those seats. I respect what Representative Nemes did. did for this bill. What is interesting, though, when he made that motion to pass on this bill, that ultimately prevented us, and by us, I mean Representative Sims, to discharge. There's something called a discharge petition where you actually, if you have enough signatures, you can actually pluck a bill out of committee that was not heard in a timely manner. But because of Representative Neems, who I believe had his heart in the right place on passing because he really did want to try to work on that bill, the Republican leadership said, oh, wait a minute, that's an action. So now we can't have you take this directly to the House floor. And the reason why is they don't want their members to take a hard vote. This got ahead of them. They don't realize how popular this is in their district and the demand for it. And they learned the hard way this year. And I think a lot of people are going to learn the hard way come November.
And obviously, I strongly disagree with that. It was not required to bring it up for a hearing in the first place. The Republican-controlled House decided to bring it up for a hearing. It wasn't brought up in a hearing in the Senate. We're moving on this bill. It's not out of fear. It's out of we want to get the right thing done. I'm not going to make this thing a partisan issue. Others can if they want to. I'll give credit where it's due. But we're going to move forward on it. But it had some problems. The bill had some problems. And when I talk to constituents, they don't want to go to recreational. And when you can grow 24 plants in your house, and your spouse can grow 24, there's a line there that we need to hold. This is a great bill. It's a good, really good start. With some tweaks, we'll get it done. But to me, it's not a partisan thing, and there was no fear there. If we didn't want to have the bill, that wouldn't have been heard. It was heard on three different days.
Dr. Voss, when a bill does get shelved, what are the possible impacts that can have on the long-term outlook for it?
Oh, I don't think it hurts it at all. Often when you get major changes in policy, they've been submitted a couple of sessions in a row, and the bills get refined in that way. I think the first time a bill's really being heard, it's usually in its weakest spot. And after, it may be next session, it may be the one after it, that's pretty common.
What hurdles do you see this particular bill needing to clear to have any hopes for it to become a law in the next session?
Well, on the one hand, this medical marijuana issue and the recreational marijuana issue is caught up in partisan politics in most places. If you look at the map of where these sorts of bills have passed, it looks like the Electoral College after a presidential election. On the other hand, the fact that there are a fair number of Republicans in the state legislature who are interested in this and supporting it creates a rare situation here where you could see a bipartisan compromise moving forward. That's often not how this has happened.
Mr. Daley, you and the Secretary of State, like you mentioned, worked closely with Representative John Sims on making this bill back in January. So what were some of the key points that you all agreed on when constructing this bill?
Well, first of all, we wanted to make sure that we had protection for our patients. And the one thing, the difference, that really there's no difference between recreational and medical. We just need to be clear that it's the same product. But what this bill would have done was make sure that there was quality control to the product in which, if you had a qualifying condition, that once you got there and you were able to be dispensed that medicine, that you knew what you were taking. And so, therefore, much like the medication you buy now, when you go back, even though it may be in the form of a plant, it is actually the same consistency. It actually provides you the same therapeutic need that you were prescribed for in the first place. So we want to do that. We want to make sure we protected our doctors or nurses. By the way, the Kentucky Nurses Association had endorsed this piece of legislation. They wanted to continue to study the effects of it. So we wanted to make sure there was a lot of controls in there. We also wanted to make sure that this does what we also wanted to do, is provide revenue. We set it up to be set up within each area development districts throughout the state, and therefore those communities or localities that actually chose to opt into this system of being able to have this in their community, they would actually share in the benefit of that revenue coming back to them. So there was kind of a carrot and stick in that, but we also had a system that was ideal for how Kentucky looks at things. And so this was not foreign. And here's the other thing. There's 30 states that have this. So the best thing in the world is you could look at states where this system did not work as well and systems that worked really well, and we were able to aggregate that and actually put in those good controls into this bill, and that's what House Bill 166 does.
Representative
Matt said something I think that's really important, and that is that there's local control built into the bill. So if a jurisdiction, if a county doesn't want it in their local area, when the statute passes, they don't have to get it. It requires a local vote, much like an alcohol vote. Mm-hmm. And so once we pass this bill, it doesn't mean that it's coming to areas that don't want it. I think it'll be welcome almost everywhere in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, but there is local control built into the bill, which I think is a really big benefit.
You met with Representative Sims shortly after the bill was shelved. What reaction did you walk away with after that meeting?
Well, John is a good friend of mine, and we work together on a number of bills. This is one of them. This is the most important one that we're going to work on going forward. But, you know, we're enthused. We're upset that it didn't get done this year. But we are energized and optimistic. I mean, I really think the next year is the year it's going to get done in the House of Representatives. Can't speak for the Senate because I haven't met with, you know, a number of senators about it. But I think Representative Sims and I are eager and getting ready to get rolling, and we're very optimistic that it's going to happen.
Mr. Daley, Secretary Grimes has said on her Facebook page that GOP officials were holding the bill hostage in the Judiciary Committee. So what does she mean by that?
Well, just what I had said previous, there was politics at play. You know, me and Representative Nemus could both sit here and tell you we want this to be bipartisan, and it is. The efforts at which we all engaged in, especially from our office, were that we put politics aside. We had Republicans and Democrats working on this bill. But sadly, you know, the inside baseball Frankfurt showed up, and all of a sudden, you know, we were watching people, why is this bill not being called back? You know, once this issue was passed on, the reality was promised that it would get brought up. Well, a committee sub was introduced. It was given to the chairman. I physically watched it, and then he turned around and lied and said he never received it. He told the press that. He told sick and dying individuals who came from all over the state that he didn't receive it. So the politics were introduced from the Judiciary Committee standpoint, and that's what she was talking about. The other thing that we learned after the fact, which is not really well known, but was not known to us until after this session, was that there's some serious conflicts of interest that prevent medical marijuana being discussed at all on our House floor. Jonathan Schell is our floor leader. He owns a hemp farm. We all support the hemp industry. Hemp is going to be a great industry. It's actually helping. It's actually medical marijuana because it's being used in that fashion. But if you sign up to be a part of the hemp project, the hemp pilot project, you sign a waiver that says you will not discuss medical marijuana. You will not promote it. You will not use it. You will not even discuss it to, quote unquote, to confuse the public. So there was a huge conflict of interest. Your floor leader is like your air traffic controller. He decides what comes to the floor or doesn't come to the floor. So if you've signed an agreement that you won't even talk about it, there was a major conflict that we did not know until after this session. And I really hope that people get to the bottom of it, because that's really sad if that one individual or maybe a couple individuals have some contractual obligation to not discuss medical marijuana, but yet they're in charge of making sure that it's actually heard.
So I may say something before Representative Nemus. I know you need to respond, but I want to sort of, as a political scientist, give the umpire call on that one. Yeah. For a second, because I don't disagree that the legislation was holed up, but I feel compelled to say that it's rare for a state legislature to allow the majority to get rolled on an issue. That across the country, and this has been, if anything, an increasing development, you know, and you see it in Congress as well with the Hastert rule, it's called, where, you know, when the Republicans are dominant, they make sure their caucus is in agreement before something moves forward. This is common in legislative politics, that until enough members of the dominant party, in this case the Republican Party, are comfortable with legislation, that they will bottle it up in committees. We may not like it, but really, having a hearing on a bill where the majority is not fully comfortable with it is the rare thing. Bottling up a piece of legislation until the majority is comfortable with it is fairly common.
That's right. And you know, I don't want to get partisan. I don't think that helps the issue, but I have to set the record straight. Democrats had control of the House for 95 years. They didn't pass it. And it's outrageous to attack Jonathan Schell about this. Jonathan Schell had nothing to do with stopping this bill. He's the floor leader. This is a committee decision. My friend Matt doesn't know what he's talking about when he attacks Jonathan Schell. It's outrageous. There's no facts to support it. And I condemn that kind of comment. And most importantly, to move forward, most importantly, that doesn't help move the ball forward and get it passed this next year.
And I just would like to say, that doesn't stop the fact that it's true. And what Professor Voss said is true. This is commonplace in politics. But I'll tell you who doesn't care for that. It's the mother who has a child who has 80 seizures a day, who had to move to Colorado to live in a forest in an RV to provide medicine to their sick child. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear the partisan bickering and all that. And they definitely don't want to hear that there was a conflict, because that conflict does exist. And I really do hope we get to the bottom of it. Now, again, Representative Nemus, in good faith, did a lot for this bill. We very much look forward to working with him. But things need to change clearly in Frankfort before this becomes a reality. And most people who advocated, who traveled far and wide to be there on behalf of this bill, they know that too.
Yeah, making up stories about a majority leader is not the part of, is not the right hand of good faith that that's required to get this thing done. I will get this bill done next year. No one could do it before me. I'll get it done with a lot of help, but I'll get it done this next year. Jonathan Schell did not stop that bill. That is a baseless allegation that's shameful.
House Bill 166 would have made medical marijuana available to people suffering from PTSD. Our reporter Curtis Franklin met with one veteran who says he's seen firsthand examples of how medical marijuana helping other veterans with PTSD.
It's about improving the health of Kentuckians. Those were the words of Representative John Sims when he filed House Bill 166 in January this year. The bill would make medical marijuana available to people with qualifying conditions such as cancer and PTSD. One of the reasons Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes supports the bill is because of the treatment options it would give veterans suffering from PTSD. Chris Breesman of veteran advocacy group 22 Strong says that it's tough for anyone to understand PTSD unless they've gone through it themselves.
PTSD is a very debilitating condition. We're stuck in our homes. We don't like to go out in communities. We don't like to go out in crowds. And we certainly don't like to go out where anybody we can't see and keep our eye on. With medical marijuana, we can get that condition under control.
Another reason Breesman supports the bill is because of the alternative it can provide to treatment through opioids. He says he's seen firsthand examples of medical marijuana bringing down the opioid dosages needed for veterans with PTSD. Kentucky's opioid problem could make legalizing medical marijuana a worthwhile endeavor. According to the Kentucky Office of Drug Control Policy, there has been a 10% increase in opioid overdose deaths over the last 2 years. Other research suggests that medical marijuana could, in fact, decrease that number. The Journal of American Medical Association says that states that have legalized medical marijuana have seen a 25% drop in opioid overdoses. I'm Kurt Franklin.
Representative Nemus, in that interview, Mr. Breesman went on to call shelving the bill unacceptable. So what is your response to that?
Well, I mean, it didn't have the votes. And so it was either kill it or work on it. We worked on it. I've worked on it. I've made a number of improvements to it. And I think we're going to get the votes. I'm confident of that. You know, I've outlined a number of the problems that we had on the self-grow and on the lack of opportunity for law enforcement to cooperate with one another. And so there's some problems that we had. It did not have the votes. It will next year with the changes that need to be made.
You've mentioned you mentioned earlier about how the problem, one of the problems you had was with the number of plants. And Mr. Breesman mentioned that as well. So why is the number so important?
Well, because we want to make sure that we don't wink, wink, nod, nod, not have recreational, and this is just medical. We want to hold the line. Kentuckians do not want recreational marijuana. I'm confident of that. But we do think it's time for medical marijuana. And so if the person who has a qualifying medical condition can grow too many plants, then they could possibly be a provider. That's the fear. And so we want to make sure that 24 plants, 12 seedlings and 12 adult plants is too much. I don't want it to be zero, but I'll let it be zero if that's what's required to get the votes. So that's the reason for the problem there.
Mr. Daley, Secretary Grimes has said that medical marijuana can help veterans, and that's one of the reasons why she supports the bill. So what kind of impact do you see medical marijuana in that program having on Kentucky's veterans?
Well, first of all, the listener should know that we lose 22 veterans every single day in this nation due to suicide. That is a number that is far higher, statistically speaking, for the percentage of veterans that we actually have in Kentucky. We actually have the fourth largest veteran community, population in the country. On top of it, the one reason why Representative Nemus came along onto this bill is he saw the science that actually there's a reduction in opioid abuse and deaths. Every state that has a medical marijuana program, you actually see 25% reduction in those opioid use and death. And so then you have the less, and it's intuitive then you're circulating less pills out in there. And, you know, God love the people who help our veterans, but if you're a medical physician, all you're doing is throwing pills at this problem. And one reason that I know Secretary Grimes and I believe Representative Nemus support this type of measure is because we want to also tackle the other huge problem, which is the fact that we're overprescribing, we're overusing medication, and it is clear if you tonight, or not tonight, on Sunday, Dr. Sanjay Gupta is going to do a big special. His pot versus pills. It shows that if medical marijuana was legal nationwide, you're talking 10,000 lives saved every single year just for the use of medical marijuana.
So. You know, a lot of people say it's a gateway drug. Well, the truth is, as Matt was just talking about, it's an off-ramp. Mm-hmm. Kentucky, one of our major problems is opioid addictions, and this can be an off-ramp for some of our folks.
Doctor,
I'd like to join on that. You know, insofar as marijuana serves as a gateway drug right now, you have to take into account that it's part of an illegal drug market, right, and it moves with those other drugs. So if you're already dealing with people who sell cocaine or heroin, if you're already in environments where people are breaking the law, then sure, it's easy to jump from one to the other. The whole point of what's being proposed here is to get it away from the gate, you know, and move it into more legitimate channels.
Dr. Voss, the veteran that Curtis interviewed is a member of an advocacy group for veterans with PTSD. So how are groups like this able to influence legislation getting passed?
You know, we usually think of the public as ignorant on issues, and if you just pick a random issue and a random person, they will be. But when we have what's called an issue public, a set of people who are really focused on an issue, they not only can lobby, which everybody's aware of, they also help with provide information. I mean, what you've been hearing is that this is an educational process, and that there are people who have valid suspicions about a bill, but who are being educated until those suspicions abate. And it's often these so-called special interest group, these lobbyists, who provide that information to the system. Political scientists are way more optimistic about the role of those groups than the public is.
One of your research interests is voting behavior. So what kind of an impact do you think that a movement to legalize medical marijuana could have on upcoming state elections?
Well, I don't know. I was hearing that this is going to be a big electoral issue, but normally I would have said, as a political scientist, that you don't see the needle move very much with these kinds of policy debates. The public's usually not engaged in the details of what people do in Frankfurt at that level.
And this is a question for all three of you. So what do you each think that needs to change or not change about this bill in order for it to pass in the next session? And do you think it would pass? Nemus, you've obviously said that you think it will. So what all do you think needs to change?
Well, I've outlined some of that. The self-grow is an issue. The law enforcement cooperation is an issue. You know, the bill doesn't allow a smoking of the product in public. That needs to be strengthened a little bit, but I don't think there's many issues. Those I would consider are pretty major concerns that a lot of my colleagues have, but we've made a number of those changes, and I'm confident that we've got the votes to pass this thing with those changes made.
Mr. Daly?
I would just say that I would hope that our Republican majority take the time. There is literally tens of thousands of documents that they can pull from to kind of see where Representative Nemus came to this conclusion. And I really hope that they, in honest, do that. I support anybody who supports this issue. And I tell you, you know, our advocates who, again, have proven themselves to be road tested on this, that, you know, if you're going to show up committee in the snow in a wheelchair, you're going to show up on election day. And they're very excited about the opportunity that we're going to have next year to maybe have this issue be heard, actually give it the deference it has, and show these folks respect. I mean, you can't look at someone who's sick or dying or a veteran in the face and say, we can't help you just because I have some weird reason why not to. So I'm hoping this summer, I hope in this fall, that there's some folks who kind of have a come to Jesus moment and actually start to really do the research and come to the conclusion that my friend Representative Nemus actually came to.
Dr. Voss?
You know, we're having troubles with revenue. Anything that that helps with with trade is going to be popular. Kentucky has the advantage that we're situated in the middle of a bunch of states that don't have these types of laws in place. And so it may be a good time to be a first mover.
So
if I could talk about one of the changes that Dr. Voss just brought up is I did put I think it's the last session, we said that the funding that would come in from from the revenues of selling medical marijuana would go to our pension system. So that was another tweak and an effort to try to get more people on board.
Yeah. Like we mentioned before, unless a special session is called by Governor Bevin, Kentuckians will have to wait until the 2019 legislative session at the earliest for a bill on medical marijuana to pass. Kentucky would become the 29th state to legalize medical marijuana if House Bill 166 were to pass in the next session. We'd like to thank our guests, Representative Nemus, Mr. Daly, and Dr. Voss, for joining us on this episode of Campus Voices. Thank you guys for listening.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.